So now we're moving into 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. We've been in 9, we were in 8. And I know in the last couple of weeks I've given you a lot to chew on, a lot of information. Probably it's like too much for you to think, well, how do I apply this food sacrifice to idols, whether a pastor should get paid or not. But remember, the point was not food sacrifice to idols or a pastor's pay. It really was an example that he was giving to the Corinthians about these are freedoms that we have. We can eat whatever we want. We can get paid or not get paid. We can get married, not get married. These are freedoms that we have. But don't use your freedom and your rights in a way that will become a stumbling block to somebody else. And so how do we apply that to our lives? So today's more about application. So you've had to do the work, and hopefully you've been doing some of that, of saying, what is it that maybe is a freedom for me, a right that I have, that I can do, that I should let go of, that I should say, I'm not going to do that so that I can either do something for God that he's specifically calling for me to do, or so that someone around me doesn't stumble, somebody doesn't fall because of what I am doing. And so now I want you to think in your head and get a very clear picture of something that maybe is true about you. You have this freedom, but it's been a stumbling block to somebody around you, and you want to release that freedom. Say, I'm free to do that, but I'm not going to do that in this setting, at work or at school or whatever, because I don't want it to be a stumbling block to somebody else. Or a right that you have. You deserve this or that, but at work you're going to say, even though I deserve this, in honor to give glory to God, I'm going to set that aside, and I'm just going to do the best job I can in this workplace to honor God. Or maybe there is actually a sin, a hindrance. The writer of Hebrews talks about it. This sin that so entangles me, and I want to just let that go, throw it off, so that I can run a race for God. And that's what Paul's going to talk to us about today, running a race for God. Throw off any of those freedoms or those rights or those hindrances so that we can do what God's called us to do. So think about that. Is there something in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your work, in your place that says, I think God's asking me to let go of that? And as we do, it's all for the purpose. It's not legalism. It's not to judge anybody else. It's all for the purpose of bringing glory to God and doing what he's called us to do. And so Paul says in verse 19, though I'm free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And so to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. And to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in the blessings of the gospel. That is such a great verse. It just helps us to see a lot about why we do what we do. It's not about people pleasing. It's not at all about pleasing people. It's about doing everything for the glory of God. It's about doing everything for a way that how can the gospel go farther? What can I do? What can I sacrifice? What can I give? What can I set myself free from so that other people can win? And, people get a little bit concerned about the weak. Well, who's the weak? We all are the weak. It's not looking down on somebody. It's just we have to understand our weaknesses. Someone was sharing with me this last week about how they had heard a pastor speak about their freedom to eat whatever they want, and a new donut place had come into the town, and they went to that donut place, like, loved that donut place, and they bought a dozen donuts, and then sat down, and were going to eat that dozen donuts for lunch. Now, I don't want to kind of judge, and someone kind of looked at him and said, wow, you're going to just sit that and eat that for lunch, and he said, don't put your bondage on me. I'm free to do this. Yes, you are. That would be a stumbling block for me. Donuts? Yeah, that's a big stumbling block. I am weak in that. And so you have to understand where your weakness is, where your brother and sister's weakness is, and don't be a stumbling block to them. So that's why we've got to do this harder work of that. And so, but the goal is sharing the gospel and bringing as many people into this kingdom, this sense of win. He uses it at least five times in here. I want to win. I want to win this race. I want to win people. And obviously we know that the Holy Spirit's the one that brings people into the kingdom of God. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts somebody's heart and lifts up Jesus Christ and draws them into fellowship. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But we get to partner with that. God's called us to be witnesses. We get to partner with the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, I want to win as many people. I want to win the right to be heard. Ever heard that phrase? We used it in Young Life a lot. Win the right to be heard. We don't have a right to just come into somebody and say, hey, you need Jesus. Hey, you need this. Hey, you should live your life like this way. You should. We have to earn that right. We have to come into their presence, get to know them and say, hey, this is what I've learned. This is what God's done in my life. So earn that right. I want to win people into the goodness and the grace of the gospel. And so three pursuits in here that I see. First one is that we go purposefully. Wherever we go purposefully. That's what I see in Paul here. If I'm going to the Jews, I'm thinking I have the Jews in mind. If I'm going to the Gentiles, I have them in mind. If I'm going to a place where the law has been lifted up, the Ten Commandments, and that's how you get to know God, I'm going to understand that that's their frame of mind. He says, that's not how I'm saved. I'm not under the law, he says in that way. But I'm going to go into that and be respectful of that. That's how people come. And to those who aren't under the law, who don't know the law, then I'm going to go and be respectful of how they have been raised and I'm going to win as many as possible. Not that the law doesn't matter. He says that. I'm under Christ. I'm under Christ's law. I need to live Christ's law. Well, what's Christ's law? Anybody? What's Christ's law? What is the law of Christ? When the teachers asked him and the Pharisees asked him, the religious said, what's the law of Christ? Love God and love your neighbor. Love your others. And he said, everything falls under that. And so we look at it and say, am I in this action right now at work, at school, out in play, whatever it is? Am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbor? That's the law that we're all under. And so he says, I'm under that, but I'm going to do and I'm going to pay attention to who I'm with. If I'm with the weak, if I'm with the strong, if I'm with the Jew, if I'm with the Gentile, if I'm with the Hondurans, if I'm with the Nepalese, if I'm with the Tibetans, I'm going to learn and be open to and just see, God, how can you use me in this place today? What can you do? I'm going with a purpose. So as we share the good news of Jesus Christ, that's our job. Be witnesses. I will make you my witnesses, Jesus. As you go, the Great Commission, as you go, you will be my witnesses. You are Christ's witnesses. You will testify. So go purposefully as you do that. And it's not to do it with coercion. Okay, it's never to be done with coercion. I want to make sure I win somebody. I make sure I convince somebody. I got to win the argument. I've got to beat the Bible into them. That's not it. Go purposefully. Go purposefully with but there is an element of persuasion. I think sometimes as the, you know, people that are a little bit more reserved in our culture, we think, well, I don't want to persuade anyone. Yeah, you do. But you want to do it with your love and with your actions and what you know. You want to do it with a purposeful and a sensitive connecting and communicating of the gospel. Think about, what's the best way for me to communicate the gospel, the good news to these people? What would be the best way to talk about Jesus Christ around this table? Julie and I were at a wedding last night, and I was sensitive to teaching this and reading this, everything. I'm sensitive to those who are around me. And there were some that I know have been Christians for a long time. They're going to be able to talk about a personal relationship with Christ. And some I wasn't sure about. And then the topic of being a Catholic got brought up. And somebody made a joke. And I thought, okay, we're not being sensitive here right now. Do you realize this person was raised Catholic? And then there were other people who were who had no particular Christian faith in there. A lot of diversity in this room. And I thought, how can we be a good testimony, not a judgmental testimony, but what can we share? What can we talk about that will not hinder the gospel, but will help the gospel? And so I just kind of been thinking about that, and I wonder if we would do the same. And so this word that I'm going to give you to going with purpose is dexterity. Dexterity, to be agile and flexibility, to adapt, not the message of the word. Okay, we're not trying to ever adapt the message of the word, but we're always trying to adapt and be flexible and agile with how we present this message and how we communicate the gospel. And that's what I believe Paul is saying. To the Jew, I'm going to do this. To the Greek, I'm going to do that. The Gentile and those, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be very purposeful and sensitive to communicating the gospel. So what is dexterity? Dexterity is the skill, right from the dictionary. I love this. The skill and grace. I don't know if they meant grace the way that we mean grace. but the skill and grace in physical movement, especially in use of the hands. And then they gave me this word, adroitness. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Adroitness. How many of you used adroitness in a sentence this week? Okay, that's it. So it's something about, I wrote some of it, skillful in body and mind. And so adding that, in every movement, in every conversation, I'm skillful with my hands and my mind and my body to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a cool picture. That's dexterity. I can hit right-handed. I can hit. You're looking, even as I go left-handed, I don't even know where my hands should go. You know, I'm like, I can't do it. I cannot hit any, I can hardly hit this way, you know, but if I go this. And so dexterity is saying, I'm gonna do it my best when I'm with you, and with you I'm going to do different. I'm gonna, not to, again, go away from the Word of God and God's law. I will always be consistent in pattern with God's law, but how I communicate to people differently is because of who they are and how will they receive the message. Skillful in body and mind. And so an ambidextrous can do it with both hands equally well. And Paul was saying, I'm ambidextrous. I can go to the Jew and communicate to them. I can go to the Gentile and communicate to them. Be all things to all people. Why? To be a people pleaser? No. To glorify God. And so he says, this is our aim. Bring the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible, in as many ways as possible, with as many sacrifices and as many abilities that God has given you as possible. So we bring the same message that God has, what God has done in our lives. But we may say it differently. To those who love theology and love the Word of God, and you're sitting down with them and they've studied the Word of God, you may say, praise God, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was a sinner condemned, but by the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed, justified, sanctified, and set free and about to be glorified. And some people go, woo, amen. See, I heard that. I got an amen already. And some people go, what did you just say? About the thing and the what and the other fight and what was that? And so you might say, hey, God's been good to me. Jesus Christ died for me, and I've been set free from all the burdens of sin and in the greatest burden of death. I've been set free. I mean, okay, I think I know what you mean. And someone might say, yo, 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 I was doing my own thing and getting down jiggy with it when, bam, I was turned around and now I'm down with God. And you're like, what? But they might go, oh, yeah, dude, down with that. You know, so it's actually the same message, all three of them. But how am I doing it? And it didn't change this message. Well, you might say, well, yeah, getting jiggy with it. I don't know what translation you're using. You know, but there's a sense in which we're using the language of the culture to communicate to the Jews, the Gentiles, those under the laws. And that's what he's saying. Don't be a stumbling block in how we act. He didn't just go to them. He understood them. And he put every effort into knowing how to speak to them and how to show them Christ. And that's why I'm wondering, are we fostering that type of dexterity? Are we fostering that type of, I should share the gospel this way because of that person, where they're coming from. I should share the good news of Christ this way. And so, again, it's just to be clear, I'm not saying all things to all people that would contradict God's word. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul was saying. Under Christ's law, loving God and loving neighbor. The thing is that we have to understand is culture does not win people to Christ. Love, as in the way culture defines it, does not win people to Christ. But love and the gospel, as the way Christ demonstrates it and teaches us, Christ's love wins. Christ's love and his sacrifice wins. So point people to the cross any way you can. And that's his guiding principle. Everything he says I do, everything I just drive me to because I want people to be saved. I want them to know the gospel. I want them to know good news. So his effort and his discipline was for the sake of the gospel. And so we're called to bring the gospel to others by using our words, our actions, the way in which we live. And so the difficult, practical question is, where are you going? Where are you going this week? Think about it. What are some of your appointments? Where will you be tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday? And then where you're going, will you bring the gospel with you in any way? Is there any way that you'll bring the good news and the love of Christ with you? Or will you kind of put that behind and say, no, that's something I do on Sunday. I don't do that on Monday. How will we bring the gospel with us? And then we think about some of the people that we're not going to bring the gospel to. And we have to ask ourselves why. Why aren't we going to the Jew? Why aren't we going to the Gentile? Why aren't we going to that person at work? Why are you only sharing your faith with a certain amount of people at work, but not with this group of people? Is it offensive to them? Then how can you do that dexterity? How can you bring it in a way that will not be offensive to them? Now, some's going to be offensive too, no matter how you bring it, but we're talking about going purposefully, and that dexterity is the resource, and that's going to require for us to go purposely. The second aim, and what are we aiming at again? We're aiming at the idea of becoming all things to all people to glorify God. And so that first aim is that gospel, or that going purposefully. Are we going purposefully using any dexterity that we have been given? And now we talk about the priority, this gospel priority. The gospel has to have a sense of priority in our lives for us to be able to do this. And so this is what he says, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run in such a way to win the race. Too many times as Christians, we're content with just being mediocre. Jesus called it lukewarm. Don't run that way. That's a hindrance, not only to believers, but to unbelievers. When unbelievers see Christians running mediocrely, running passively, they think, well, that must not matter that much to you. That must not be a big deal to you. Run to win. And so Paul moves from this dexterity to this discipline. Go into strict training. Do you not know that everyone who competes in a race, verse 25, in the games, goes into strict training? And they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I strike a blow to my body. I make a sacrifice. And I make it my body, my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself am not going to be disqualified for this prize. Discipline, self-control, wherever we're going, think again about those places you're going, and then do you have this strict training that says, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to think about the best way to communicate this. I'm going to exercise a sense of commitment to reach these people, to share the gospel with them. I'm going to make every effort, and with some people, it's as few words as possible. Others, it's like, okay, let's talk about this issue. Let's go into it. Let's dig into it. Self-control, restraint, ongoing workout for the gospel progress. And our main equipment for that is right here. The scripture and prayer. And then one other piece of equipment. People, each other. We can't do this by ourselves. If we're going to go into strict training, we need partners. We need people to help. And so Paul illustrates this by pointing his audience to something they knew very well. There were different types of Greek games, you know, where the Olympics came from. And in Corinth, there were this very specific Isthmian games. It's like a peninsula, part of the property, part of the land. And these Isthmian games were a huge part of their culture. And people exercised and trained for months to be a part of them, to win. The main event was a race, a foot race. But there were many other events in it. And so they said, he says, you know that. People train all the time for these things. And it's an economic thing, and it's a cultural thing, and it's a festival, and there's all kinds of things. Everybody's excited about the games. And people put everything they have into them so that they can win a crown of, for the Greeks, it was like a pine branch type of thing like this. Then there was a certain god that they were worshiping. I can't remember one, but they made it out of celery leaves on their head. You get the celery crown. Okay, thanks a lot. You know, and it was like, but that was a big thing. And then when the Romans took over, it was more like a fur type of one. But it's a crown that just is destroyed. He's saying, they do all that work? And so to illustrate, use Paul's metaphors. I want you to make sure you understand this. I've invited my friend Steve Johnson. Steve and Angie are our trainers. They're physical, they're trainers, whatever you call it, you know. And Steve's going to help us see the metaphors, come on, Steve, of Paul's illustration of discipline. Because these are Paul's metaphors. We have to understand them. What did it take? What did he say? He says, we beat your body. You do this to win that race. So Steve's going to train me. He's going to command me to do some things here. And he's going to put me into some exercises. What are we doing, Steve? Talk
Peterson, it's a great day to be a Peterson. Let's start with that. Are you ready for this?
All right, you got Steve on too.
I think you're good.
Okay.
Can you hear me all right? That's good.
All right, what do you need me to do?
All right, we're going to kick it off with a little bit of lunges.
Lunges.
You ready for this?
Okay.
Three rounds.
Oh, no, not three.
You got to prepare yourself for this.
I think
we're
going to
start out. I'm going to hold the band. You're going to walk, and you're going to press like that. Step and press.
Okay.
And step and press. We'll turn around, and we'll repeat the same thing coming back.
Okay, once is good.
Woo! It's going to be hard work. You ready for this?
All right.
You got one in your right arm.
All right.
When you're left.
All right.
Strong feet. Hang on. Give me a second. Okay, here we go.
One in front of the other or side?
Go ahead and step with your right foot first. Down the lunge and extend out. All right. Next step. Extend out. Good. One more. Press out. Good. All right. We turn around. Working our way back.
Lunges.
Get in after it, Peterson. You got to dig down deep. You ready? Here we go. One more. Two. One more. Three. I'm getting tired just watching you. All right. Moving on.
Lunges.
We got a medicine ball. You ready for this?
I'm going to throw it. I'm going to keep you right here.
You're going to be right here.
I don't want to hit the keyboard.
All right. You got to go down on the ground for this one. I'm sorry. Okay. It'll be quick. You're going right here.
All right.
Good. Here we are. I'm going to go. You're going down. And as you come up, you're going to explode back. Push it back to me. And be ready. You got to be ready. It's coming right back at you. You don't want it in the face.
It's coming back at me? I can't even do a sit-up. How much does that weigh?
Logistics. I'm working on this. Hang on. What's that?
How much does that weigh?
This is 8 pounds. Get a feel for it first.
All right.
Touch it. Feel it. Here we go. Ho. Right at me.
I come up.
You coming up?
Ah!
Ho. Right back at you. Ho. Back down. Here we go. Two.
Ah!
Ho. One more time. Come back.
I think I know where it's
three.
Like
hang on.
Now.
Ah! Watch out. Ho. Here's four. Watch out for the keyboard back there. Hold on to that ball.
Yeah.
Here's five. Rachel will not be happy. Here's six. One more. Ho. There we go. Ho, up on our feet. Good. Woo. All right. Hang in there. Now we're going to a squat lunge. As you come up, you explode out. And have your hands ready again. So here you go. You start with the ball. Get comfortable. Ho.
What do I do?
Up, out at me. Right here. Throw it. Right back at you. Two.
You're not lunging. You're not doing no. You're not going down.
I'll go with you.
Wait. I almost got hit in the head. Catch it first and then throw it.
As you come up, explode out. Good. Oh, four.
Explode.
Here we go.
Ah!
Here we go.
Ah!
Woo! Hard work.
How many more?
One more. Woo! There, done. Done. Ho! Done with that one. Round one's done. Hey, round two. Ding. Are you ready?
Okay. Ding.
I got some gloves. You ready for this stuff? Woo! Gotta get them. Here we go. A little transition. Bear with us, folks. We're moving. All right. How does it feel?
Paul says, I don't box aimlessly.
That's right.
I take purpose in this.
Okay, I've got that. Hold on here.
You tell him, Steve.
All right, Scotty. Here, Pastor Scott. Pastor Scott. Sorry about that. Show a little respect. I'm sorry. It's in the gym here. So here we go. Staggered stance. You're facing me this way.
Right.
One, two, cross. One, two, cross. One, two, cross.
Paul says, get away from all that sinful nature. That lust, that coveting, that pornography, that
two,
greed,
two,
covetousness,
one,
immorality,
one, over here,
okay.
one more,
ah!
Good. Now we got right there, now we change, stagger this way, one, two, cross, you ready?
Hey, wait, one, two,
oh, here we go again, one more time, ready?
Yeah.
One, two, cross.
Okay, one, two, cross. One, two, cross.
Oh, there you go.
I missed it.
Woo.
You got to take aim at it.
One more time.
Ah, you missed it.
Oh, come on. Focus.
Ah, ah,
that's it.
Ah.
Oh, digging down deep.
The left. I don't have the left.
Give him a hand. I think we got one more here. You ready for this? Shake it out. You got to believe, Peterson. One more time. All right, here we come back in. Okay, ready for this one?
All right.
Now you're going to do a squat as you come down.
Oh, up. No.
Hup. You got this.
Oh, no.
You got this. Here we go.
Wait.
Here we go. Squat and come up. Uppercut. Here we go. One more time.
Knowledge.
Fear here. Here we go.
Dexterity.
Boom. Boom.
Okay.
Boom. Right in the jaw.
Boom.
Here we go.
Ah.
Six.
Wait.
Six. Five. Ah. Five. Four. Four. Three. Three. Two. Two. Oh, wow. He's getting after it. Shake it up, Peterson. Okay, keep us one more time.
No, we're good.
Okay, good.
You get it, right?
You got the point. You got the point. Whew. Give me that. Hard work.
They're calling for the kettlebell.
No. Peter's working hard.
Example.
Little towel, you earned it. Go. Little water, a little trophy.
Hey.
We're digging down deep. Little prize, a little water. All right. Give him a hand, folks.
I can do it. You thought I wasn't going to do this, though, didn't you? Steve, I got to catch my breath. Tell him, as a physical trainer, how much you need to do this to make a difference.
3 times a week.
How many minutes?
30 minutes. If you're sedentary, just getting started, we just got to move. We got to work the stairs. We got to get walking. Start just moving. And then work your way up to 60 minutes a week. 60 minutes, 3 times a week.
60 minutes, 3 times a week.
Hey, good work, Tiger.
Tiger. That's a reward right there. Tiger. Why do we do that? To illustrate. That's Paul's illustration. That's not mine. That's not Steve's. That's Paul's. If you're going to get into it, you're going to be training for something. You're going to be working towards something. You got to fix my eyes on it. You got to fix your body on it. You got to give to it. And he says, look at it again. They go into the strict training to get a crown that won't last. We go into this, what we do for God, what he's called us to do, that's forever. If God's called you to do it, it lasts forever. You're gaining a prize that will not be stolen. It will not be beaten. It will not be taken away. The gospel has to be our strict priority. How are we going to do it? We can't do it in 25 minutes on a Sunday morning. If that's all we're getting, then we're just getting tired, and then it doesn't make any difference in our lives. And so work at it. Focus our minds. I love this word that Paul uses for priority. It's a word like fixation. And fixation means an obsessive interest in or feeling about something or someone. I'm fixed on them. What if we as Living Waters Church ended up having a fixation on the gospel of Christ? Not in an annoying way to other people, but in a way that in our hearts, I'm obsessed with this. I love being in God's Word. I'm obsessed with prayer and the equipment that God's given me. And listen, I hope you saw in that illustration something very, very important. I can't do that by myself. There's no way. I can't throw the ball up and catch it by myself. I can't box aimlessly at it. I need somebody to train me. I need someone to help me. And so do we in our walk with Christ. We have to have somebody who will come alongside us. And so this obsessive interest and concentration, I missed that thing a bunch of times. I don't know, maybe my eyes weren't fixed on it. I was trying to do too much. I was trying to think of Galatians 5:16, where it says, Paul says, don't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You know what they are. Get rid of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, deceit, greed, idolatry, discord, hatred, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, envy, coveting, drunkenness, lust. Boom, boom. Get them out of your system. Knock them out. That takes discipline. Daily discipline. And so Paul says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the pioneer. He's the protector of our faith. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's run this race. And he says, set your minds on things above, on the eternal things, not things of this earth. What disciplines will we engage in this week to strengthen our Christian love, our beliefs, our knowledge? You see how many times he said, wait, no, tell me what. What did you need me to do? That's why we're in small group with each other. What do we need to do? How do we do this? It's a discipline. Understand it. Fix our eyes on Jesus. And then the last aim that I want to give you today. It's in here. It's in this passage. But I think Peter, he summarizes it better. We have this going purposefully, gospel priority, which requires discipline. And then we have this godly proof, which it takes devotion. And so Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:12, we do this authentic living of our faith. We do it to live such good lives among them that though they may accuse us of wrong, they may see our good deeds and glorify our God. You know that unbelievers glorify our God sometimes because of how you act of how you've loved, of how you've served. And in Honduras, I guarantee you there were people observing and watching that, and they're wondering, why do you come to this country and help dig a well? And they saw your good works, your good deeds to bring water to them, and they were glorifying to God. They were glorifying to God in our eyes, and they were glorifying to God in unbelievers' eyes. Again, not to bring people, not to please people, not to be about works. I'm going to do this to work my way to heaven. That's not it. It's about bringing glory to God. Paul was concerned about one last verse. I myself will not be disqualified for this prize. If you've been disqualified for something, I have. Both in athletics when I tried to do some things, which I wasn't very good at. And in spiritual things, I've been disqualified. My testimony didn't match my words. And it is the worst feeling ever. To be disqualified because my actions didn't match what I was called to do. And Paul says, I'm not being disqualified. And so when you think about something that you've trained for, something that you've worked for, something that you want to be a part of and bringing the gospel to somebody and doing something, and then say, I don't ever want to be disqualified from this. I want to finish the race. I want to win this race. I've already heard, and I hope not take any thunder away from the Honduras team, but because they're going to share next week, but the first two trips, we were able to get the well done on Thursday and then go and spend Friday, just kind of a relaxing day. Some, I just hung out on the beach. Some went ziplining, doing fun things like that. That's part of the trip, just to relax afterwards. Well, they kept hitting a rock and a rock and a rock. And they had the choice on the last day. You can go do what the trip usually does and just spend time just relaxed on that last day. Or you can finish the race. It's okay if they don't finish the race. It's okay if it doesn't, because somebody will finish. The next group will come in, we'll finish it. Or the Living Waters International people there, they'll finish it. But I heard from our team that they unanimously said, we're finishing this. We're going for this. We came for this. This was our purpose. This is what God called us for. We're digging this well. And I think if it hadn't happened on Friday, they'd still be there. And we'd be trying to raise some funds to change their tickets to get them back. Because they're going to finish the race. And I say well done. I say well done to that. But that's the devotion. That's the devotion. And Paul says at all times, one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me, straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal. I want to win the prize for what God's called me for. Not some prize that can be broken. Not some prize that can be, that's made out of, Jefferson, 2003. First place. Won't say who got that. Look at this prize. Big Ten. Silver medal. Has on it that emblem of the Greek games, that wreath type thing. I didn't even want to bring that. That scares me so much. That's such a great prize. It doesn't last. It's good, and it was exciting, and it was a great day. It was a good thing. It was a good goal to shoot for. It doesn't last. Run that race. Do something that's going to last for eternity. Put your heart into everything, a devotion into saying, I want to do this for God's glory. And if that means running a race for God's glory, then run it for God's glory, because there's another prize that goes with that race. It's the glory and the gratification of our Father in heaven saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You did a good job. I don't do all this. I'm not, you know me. I'm not ever going to be in good shape. I'm not ever going to box a boxing match. My legs hurt already right now. My thighs are burning, okay? I'm not trying to make myself look good to you. I'm not trying to be, look at me. Don't I look good now? Let me take this off and give you my muscle tee. It's not happening. I'm not doing it for you. Why am I doing it? Someone even asked me that day, why are you trying to lose weight? You know, most people, when they go to a country where they need their weight, I got plenty of that. I don't need it. I'm fine. I'll live on that. Why are you trying to do it? Because I don't want to be a hindrance to the team. I've been called to this Nepal trip, and I believe it. God's called me to it. And I don't want to be the one. I don't want to faint on the mountain. I don't want to do that either. There's a personal side of it. I don't want to fall down, trip on the trail, and then the snow comes, and I'm just a speed bump in Nepal for the rest of my life. No, I don't want to do that. But I don't want to be a hindrance to the rest of the team. I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to all of a sudden be in Kathmandu going, I don't feel good enough to go up to the village today, guys. Let me just sit back here and sip tea. I don't want to do that. I want to finish the race. And so I'm doing this now. See, that's my motivation. Now, when I get back, give me that 12, then donuts, a dozen donuts. I'll be good. What's going to be my motivation when I come back? It should be live a healthy life. That's good enough, Scott. But all my point is, what's your motivation? This food over here, are you kidding me? This healthy food? I was missing like breakfast food, and then Dale told me I can't have cereals because that's too much carbs and sugars and stuff. And I thought, well, I love oatmeal, though. And so I got this blueberry chia, whatever. What is it? C-H-I-A. What is it? Chia? Buckwheat? Muesli? I don't know. Muesli? Blueberry? It looks really good. Yummy. This stuff tastes like shredded cardboard. I'm not kidding you. I've torn up cardboard before to kind of put in the recycling bin, and you get a piece of it in your mouth. That's what this stuff tastes like. Now, you put blueberries on it, it still tastes bad. I'm not doing this. What's the motivation? What's your motivation? The glory of God. And so the worship team is coming up and giving us a chance to really think through, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this race? And they're going to teach us a new song called, Is Christ Enough? Is Christ is enough for me? Is Christ enough for you to do his will? Is Christ enough for you to compete that calling? Is Christ enough for you to be devoted to do what he's called you to do? And so we're spending a little extra time here in worship at the end of this service. And I want to exercise for you to think about. On these tables, this one over here and this one here, are carts. And our elders are meeting Tuesday night. And we will pray for you. You put whatever you want on there. You just write it in one word, two words, three words, and just say, I'm trying to get rid of this freedom that I have. I'm ready to do it because it's hindering block to somebody else. I'm trying to get rid of this selfish ambition that I have, and I can't do it on my own. Will you pray for me? And we will. And so as you think about, is Christ enough for you? Is the goal of saying, my Father in heaven saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what? You did the race. You run the race that I called you to run. Is that good enough for you? Will you throw it off? Any hindrance, any sin, any freedom? Father, we want to win this race for you, for your kingdom, for your glory. We want to run in a way that honors Jesus Christ. We want to live for your glory. We want to be able to say, like Paul did to Timothy, well, I've fought the good fight and I've finished the race. I kept the faith. Is Christ enough for us?